powered by a 100% Australian electricity and gas retailer. That's Red Energy. Switch today. Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it. On SEN, Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Fantastic to have your company wherever you might be listening. Don't forget you can join me anytime. 1-300-736-736. The open line for Werribee Kia. 1-300-736-736. On a regular basis, it's always good to have a chat to Sean Higgins. He's been a superstar in the world of AFL for quite a while. He is currently, I think, vice-captain of the North Melbourne Football Club, or joint vice-captain of the North Melbourne Football Club, and gives me a chance to pick his brain and get a player's point of view on all the stuff we've been talking about for a couple of days this week. And he joins me for a McCafe coffee catch-up now on a weekly basis. Head to a McCafe drive-thru and grab your favourite barista-made coffee. Today, I was just looking at your birth date, Sean. 4th of March is your birthday.
G'day, Dwayne. Yes, mate. 4th of March, and good to join you again.
Yes, good to join you as well, given that we share that birthday. I might have to send you a card on your birthday every time your birthday comes
well,
up.
You won't be forgetting that one for a while.
No. So I was looking through your stats. I was trying to see how many games you'd played, because I was trying to work out whether you're in 300 game territory. 221, is that right? How many you've played now? You probably don't even know the number yourself.
Didn't know the exact number, Dwayne, but that sounds like it would be correct. So I played 129 at the Dogs and moving towards 100 with North Melbourne.
Do you reckon the time off is going to help your body? Is it going to maybe add a year to your career? How are you feeling right now? Because you're at 32 years of age now. Is there a chance that you might be able to play until 34, 35, the way you're feeling, given you're getting what most players never get, and that is essentially a year off, but not a year off through injury. It's a year off to recuperate.
Yeah, you're right. I'm definitely feeling as good as I ever have, and the body's in great shape and making the most of a little bit of downtime, but it is slightly different this time off compared to if you were injured or someone missing a chunk of footy, as you said, that you'd be probably limited in the work that you can get in. And the work that I'm getting in at the moment and all the guys are getting in is really quality work on the back of a strong pre-season. So you're getting great work in without the rigours of trying to recover and get up for games. So I would love to still be playing in a few years' time, and hopefully that's the case. And hopefully I'll get huge benefit, as a lot of guys will, with this time off that we're in at the moment, and make sure our body's in really good shape, that when we get back, it's going to be slightly different how that looks and what we're going to have to deliver physically. But I think we'll be in great shape when that time comes.
And does it help you because you're old enough to sort of understand what your body's telling you, as opposed to when you're 17, 18, 19 years of age, you kind of don't really understand what that ache means?
Yeah, I think it does. And that's why the communication's been really strong between all of us as players for our team at North, in making sure that particularly the younger guys have a little bit of focus and purpose about the training that they're doing, and making sure that it is aligning with what they need. So when we get back and the trigger's pulled that we're playing, that they're in really good shape to be able to play. So you always draw on some past experiences, that's for sure.
May 4th has been mentioned on this program quite a few times. We talked about it a few weeks ago with Rory Atkins even addressing it as the date that he had in his mind. Patrick Dangerfield spoke to Jared Whateley earlier today, and Jared threw the May 4th date at him. Here's what Patrick had to say.
So 16 games in 13 weeks, but May 4th is not in keeping with any timeline that I've heard discussed privately. So that's to be seen when the AFL makes its announcement next Monday. In your mind, is there any hope of being back training on May 4th?
Quite simply, we just don't have that information yet. I know that was a timeline, I suppose, publicly discussed, a month ago. I'm not sure how close that is to the reality of where we're at. And I think, like, there's so much to unpack with it all, simply because this is, a lot of it's going to be government-driven on when and if rules around isolation and self-isolation and limiting contact with others are relaxed, and what you know, from what I've read and seen, when you do relax them, there tends to be a spike in cases. And I think at the moment, quite clearly, we're all focused on trying to flatten that curve as much as possible and then slowly relaxing rules when it's appropriate so the healthcare system isn't just smashed all at one point. May 4th isn't a date that was ever formally put to us as a PA. And the, I suppose the situation we're in is that we're waiting for a bit of an update from the AFL on where that will all stand, but they're still gathering information and trying to work as fast as they can with the, you know, clearly the limited staff that they have on with, you know, with the repercussions of not having a season.
That was Patrick Dangerfield with Gerard Whateley earlier today addressing the May 4 situation, the Star Wars Day, if you like, that a few people have texted in over the course of the last few weeks when we've talked about it on this program. Have you got a theoretical date that you've been working to, Sean, just to sort of get an understanding as to how much rest and when you might need to get your mind into gear? Or have you just sort of relaxed and not put a theoretical date in front of yourself and simply waited for the AFL to come out and hopefully give you one in a week's time?
Well, to answer your question, Drain, I probably think a little bit of both, to be honest. That you work with the parameters and the dates that we've been given, shape a training model and program around that, and then allow that model to be flexible, if that makes sense. So then we're forever aligning and realigning what our training looks like off the back of those dates. And then at the moment, where we are in a training block is that we've had a really good 3 or 4 weeks of training personally, and then we have a little bit of downtime or deload this week, and then we'll build up again over the next month. And then that may change depending on what announcements are made. And their announcements, both from the health minister, the PM, and then that will flow into what our game looks like. And then obviously Gil's call and work on the back of that, of dates and season parameters when they come to hand. So not working solely on one date, for example, May the 4th, that we're going to be back or I need to be ready. But what I am working towards is making sure my body's in good nick and that my training is at a level that whenever those announcements are made, then we can respond accordingly.
How much do you think your fitness base has dropped from what it was just before round one?
In some ways, I think it maybe the overall load of contact and that sort of thing has dropped because there's a lot to go into being match hardened and fit. But in terms of just running capability and power, I actually feel stronger than I did before round one because of the specific work that I've been able to get in and the way that I feel. So that all needs to be a bit of a juggling act to tick off what you need to do fitness-wise and make sure your running power is at a really good level, which I think I've ticked that box. And then the juggling act is marrying that up with being game ready, which is more than just a fitness base, but it's obviously that body contact, the really high-end acceleration and change of direction that's I think around the discussion of, okay, when we do come back, how many weeks do we need together and ramping up so that we minimize any risk of injuries when we get back into it.
Do you like the idea of, or would you be okay with the idea of being away for 3 weeks in a hub, or do you prefer the idea of maybe flying to Perth, as Eddie floated on this program a month ago? Just flying over there, staying there for a week. You play both teams off a 6-day break and then you fly home.
Look, personally, Dwayne, I'm actually open to anything and everything as long as it's safe to do so. And I'm sure it will be if that finally gets ticked off. Both those cases would be okay for me personally. But as relatively normal as we could keep it would be ideal. The fact that we're going to have to play games more regularly is going to be a significant jump up for most guys and also how weeks and days and programs are structured for footy clubs. So if we can keep it as normal as possible, then that'd be great. If not, I think we all need to adapt.
Would you be okay having your phone trapped? Would you be happy to download the app as a player and say, okay, well, it's part of this going back to work process. This is what the government might prefer I do.
Yeah, well, if we needed to, then we would. And if it would help particularly teams and clubs coming together in hubs or even in regular formatting, if that's what it looks like. And this helped minimise risk and also allowed for games to be played because we could track people that are involved in those games, whether it be players, coaches, or, you know, security staff or management at the venues, then if that's what it needed to take place, then we're good. We would, but we're all, you know, all in sort of similar boat there, aren't we? That if it's a nationwide thing, then maybe we have to get on board.
Interested to know your thoughts. You're a vice captain. We've had a couple of AFL players in trouble in the last week. But that's an occurrence that over the course of 5 years, every club is going to have something happen to them with one of their players. You're a vice captain at North. What's the process when something like this happens?
Well, as a leadership group, we would try and put things in place to minimise events like or anything happening, whether it be to a number of players on field or off field. And then if something unfortunately does happen, then we would get together and from all parties concerned, chat about what it looked like, align them to the values that we come up with and the standards and behaviours that we hold really close to us as a playing group, and then navigate your way through that. And that would be from the leadership group of players to the personal persons involved and then also the coach as well. So there is a process that would need to take place and I've been a part of over many years now in different sorts of leadership groups.
And you kind of have to have a feel for the fact that people are going to make a blue occasionally, I presume?
Yeah, and that's what the importance of getting all the facts and figures early and not jumping to any conclusions with whatever the incident is. And also understanding that there's humans involved here and things do happen, but trying to care for the individual as well as taking care of the situation. And you know, we're all adults, so you do need to be held to account and understand right from wrong. But there's a number of different juggling acts there that need to be taken into consideration because there's so many different people involved. And at the end of the day, you want to look after the welfare of everyone. But also you've got the expectations and so many connected partners at a football club as well that need to be taken care of.
And you've got your own weekly podcast, Mindfulness in Sport, which addresses, I'm presuming, a lot of the issues that everybody in society is facing right now, and that is balancing the pressure and trying to, you know, get yourself in a mental situation where when the pressure loads up, you can handle it.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right, Dwayne. So it is really heavily based on how we adapt to pressure and how we're pre-programmed to be able to adapt to that and the increase of pressure, particularly for us in the elite environment. And our last episode kicked off a four-part series on that exact point and taking us from the journey of our child mind, if you like, into the mastermind or being able to withstand that pressure at the top level. So a nice little four-part episode coming up, and we released one of those four, so stay tuned over the coming weeks. But it is just chatting about that and getting a feel for, you know, real-life examples, but also understanding what we go through and also what people in everyday life go through because we're all faced with different pressures and different challenges at different times.
I was having a look at the stats on goal-kicking after Stuart Lowe jumped on the program a few days ago, and having a look at all the leading goal kickers for the clubs last year and what their goal kicking percentage was. You've got guys like, you know, Harry Mackay, who was down at the 54%. He won Carlton's goal kicking with 50 goals, 43. And then you've got, you know, guys at the high end who were kicking at 72%. Tim Membry kicked 44 goals, 17. So he was up at 72%. All the great goal kickers, you know, Jason Dunstall, 66%. Peter McKenna, 66%. Sav Rocker, 65%. Barry Hall, 64%. You can go right through them. Matty Lloyd was 69%. All of them had that, you know, mid-60s range, the great goal kickers. I noticed that Ben Brown kicked at 65% this past year, 64-34 for Benny Brown. Goal kicking hasn't improved, but at the same time, we have got blokes in the game now that are producing exactly the same numbers as the all-time greats. Would you suggest Ben Brown's routine to any kid? Would you suggest that's a good one going forward, given that he had a 65% year?
Not his specific routine, but what I would recommend is having one. So yep. What works for Ben Brown might not necessarily work for myself or work for Buddy Franklin. But the one thing that I know is really important is having that routine and knowing what works for you. So I would hugely recommend, if you want to maximise your performance in front of goal especially, and look, I fall into this boat as well, is to really come to an understanding and awareness of what works best for you. And that's what I think Brownie does. Like, he's figured that routine out because that works for him and he feels most comfortable performing that routine. So I don't think anyone should just go out and try and copy anyone else, but you can take bits and pieces from different techniques and then at the end of the day form something that works for you and that you're really comfortable, so under fatigue you can deliver.
Because Lance Franklin, we think, is a pretty good kick, but he kicks at 58% as opposed to Ben Brown's, you know, 64%, 65% for Ben Brown. So, you know, it's an interesting way of looking at it, having a technique that is right for you, but at the same time, if there's a better technique, do you adopt that? Because players these days can't have the 1,000-kick repetitive month where they just continue to bed down that routine to make themselves better these days. You're not allowed to have that many kicks.
Yeah, well, you try and get as many kicks as you can, but you're probably right there. It's gone a little bit over the top in some regards. But the other thing as well, and I don't know the answer to it, but breaking down where guys have those shots from and yep. what they look like. And back in the day, the full forward, I would imagine, was probably having shots relatively closer or more directly in front than, you know, Lance Franklin is a guy that gets up the ground and works back and takes some incredibly hard shots. And the more shots you take, you're going to kick more, but also you're probably going to miss more as well. So it's an interesting and never-ending debate, the old goal kicking, I think. But trying to have some sort of structure and routine definitely helps.
Yeah, it's funny because Eddie Betts takes a lot of shots from the pocket, but Franklin's 58%. Eddie Betts is 66%. So you're right, it's where you take the shots as well. So how many of the over-the-tops handball toward goal does Eddie Betts get to compensate for the ones he's kicking on an angle and missing all the time? The goal-kicking thing, it's amazed me. Have you got a theory as to why it hasn't improved, why it's exactly the same, and for the last four decades, the numbers have been exactly the same?
Yeah, it's interesting because whenever you got an argument for, you know, fatigue or maybe an argument around the fact that so many different players are taking shots now as opposed to back in yesteryear, then there's also another argument to counteract that. But clearly the impact that the mind has on that and pressure, we mentioned it before, plays a massive role because we all know how to kick the football. And I'm sure if goal kicking was taken at training, then the percentage would be well and truly higher. It was interesting, even in round one, wasn't it? You would have called a few games, but it felt like the goal kicking percentage was greater because of less pressure from crowd. And I know that sounds ridiculous to a lot of people, but the stats don't lie, and that was pretty evident across all the games that were played round one.
Absolutely spot on. Hey, before I let you go, and I look forward to catching up with you again next week, Sean, did you watch any episodes of The Last Dance at all? Were you a Jordan fan growing up at all?
I did watch, and I had said to myself I'm going to watch one episode last night, and so I can watch another episode tonight to stretch it out a little bit, but it wasn't the case. We knocked them both over last night. It was good viewing on a number of fronts, and you know, even watching games from back in the day, but also some of the messaging in it and seeing how he operates and the different personalities and coaching styles. And I mean, as an athlete myself, but also a sports lover, there was a fair bit to take out of it. I think it ticked a lot of boxes for a lot of people.
Yeah, and that obsessive, repetitive training again sort of shines through with a guy like Jordan, doesn't it? It's not the mechanics of taking free throws a little bit different to the mechanics of having a kick, so not as much stress on your joints. But again, it sort of rammed home that repetitive, rote learning of your skill.
Yeah, hugely, wasn't it? And even his mindset around that, and it probably links into, you know, the best in their chosen sport, because I think back to the test and, you know, the Doco and Steve Smith and the amount of hours and times that he put in, and they were joking about him shadow batting all through the hours of the night. But Jordan was similar, that repetition and repetition and finally become the master of your craft. Yeah, it was no surprise really why he was so good. But what stood out was that mindset even from the get-go when he was younger and going through college and, you know, just taught himself to be great and win. And I'm excited about what the next few episodes are going to bring.
Yeah, unfortunately, we've got to wait a week for them. Great to catch up with you, Sean. I look forward to talking to you again next week. And I'll check out the podcast as well, Mindfulness in Sport podcast, on your sport, on your podcast outlet app. Thanks for your time.
Good stuff. Thanks, Dwayne.
Sean Higgins, the one and only. Great to have him as a regular on the program for a McCafe coffee catch-up. We're drive-through people. McCafe, we're coffee people. Take a break. Take a few of your calls after at 1-300-736-736. And if you're running a small or medium business, we'll take your calls as well. We'll start what's open a little earlier. Your chance to tell the world that you are operating, you are employing, but the world doesn't know you're operating. So here's your chance, SEN, giving a helping hand to small and medium business. Let the world know next. 1-300-736-736. Or if you'd like me to read your website out, let everybody know about your business, read your phone number, whatever, get us on the speckle text, 0433 98 11 16. What's open next?